Hello there and welcome back to the Zero Credentials F1 podcast. There's loads to talk about today. I'm just going to get straight into it, Nelly, and ask you a question to get us going here. Was the Mexican Grand Prix of 2025 epic or was it a shambles? Have a think about that while the credits run or the opening scene runs and we'll talk about it. I'm gonna kill the music straight away because
down to business.
I haven't quite calmed down yet. We're about 12 hours since the race finished, and I've got some shit to say, if I'm honest.
Get it off your chest, brother.
But I don't quite know where to begin. I want to let you start because I don't want to sound like a massive whinger. Because we've taken the piss out of whingers on this podcast at certain points. And I don't want it to come across like that. But for me, sport fills this thing within your human nature. It satisfies some aspect of human nature that we all desire. Whether it's like some sort of proxy for war or it's just sort of satisfying some human need for competition. It's important and it's meaningful, but that meaning comes from a certain level of restriction and rules that create the game and create the
competition
sport.
through a prism of rules and structure. And this is not Vietnam. There are fucking rules.
That's so true. The Mexico classically has drama and excitement in turn one.
Yeah.
And we cannot deny that it most definitely had that. However, I'm confused. I still don't understand what was going on. Because I'm just going to say it out there. I'll put it out there. I think people probably by now know that you and I are big Lewis Hamilton fans.
Correct.
And I thought the driving up to turn one was phenomenal. And then Lewis did a great move. He was kind of up challenging behind Lando. There was three abreast with Max, Charles and Lewis. And then they got to turn one. Lando got ahead, which is great. We'll talk about Lando a little bit later. And then Lewis made it around the corner. And Charles and Max did not. Or Kimi Antonelli. George got around the corner as well.
Doesn't matter if you make it around the corner. Doesn't matter these days. It's a nice to have. It's not absolutely essential.
There's a lot to talk about. Let's break it down because, firstly, there was some suggestion from our group, mainly from White, that Lewis drove into Charles and knocked him off the track. Now, I've got a bit of evidence here. I want to bring up a couple of images.
Show me the truth.
You got some nice points this week.
It is.
So we'll come back to that one. But here we are. So you've got Lando pretty much ahead on the left there. You've then got Lewis, who at the current point is a little bit behind Charles. You've got Charles in the middle and then Max already on the curb. He said he was bottoming out. He's already lost control. You can see the dust that's flying up. He was never going to make that corner. We'll come back to Max in a minute. Charles, I can't play the video because we'll probably get done on YouTube. And you know, if you're on a podcast, it's no good to you anyway. So I'll describe it. You've then got Charles and Lewis sort of getting sandwiched between Charles and Lando. Lewis has every right to be there at that point. You've got George on the inside behind them and Kimi on the outside behind the four of them. So the Mercedes are two behind the four that are in this row. What then happens, if I roll the video on, you see Charles Leclerc turn his wheel to the right and bump wheels with Lewis. Lewis did not bump wheels with Charles. It was the other way around. But then they both were getting round the corner. Now, some people have said that if you go off the track, you've got a right to the racing space if you're ahead. But if we look at this one here, well, let's go back to this one first. at the apex, where it counts, Lewis Hamilton is most definitely ahead of Charles there.
That's his apex, no question. No question.
And that was backed up by Caroon, who later sort of thought that penalties should have been dished out where they weren't. You've got Lewis there in the middle of his of Caroon's screen, clearly ahead at the apex. And Charles could have got round there, then a little snap of oversteer and went off the track. Max has obviously just pinged one down the outside, gone way off. And if we were to roll the video on, Kimi Antonelli goes off the track as well because yeah. he's left it too late to break. He's gone off and George Russell gets around the corner. So at this point, you've got three of them, actually, the three British lads who get accused of bias on this channel already. You've got three British lads that stayed on the track. And then you got Max, Charles and Kimi, who all went off the track.
Yeah, Jolly Follering is doing what he wants. the great British appetite for rules keeps us in line. And these mad guys from the continent are just not having it.
So at the moment, I've got no problem with what happened. It's just great. I think it's great racing at that point. But then because of the way the track is, you've got two sort of tight corners, chicane type corners after turn one. Max and Charles particularly have gone ahead of Lando. Max quite quickly gave that place back to Lando. And George and Lewis went around and were behind Max and Charles at that point. Max has obviously thought, I shouldn't be ahead of Lewis here. Yeah. He kind of then yielded the place to
yielded
Lewis.
Or taken, because they bumped wheels a little later, but yeah, it doesn't matter.
Lewis is not getting past Max there if he doesn't want him to. I think he kind of gave it up, but then you could argue he then should have given up the place to George as well.
Agree.
I think the correct place for Charles and Max to slot in was behind George.
Yep.
And then it went on and nothing happened. You've got three people that drove off the track, gained an advantage, and literally nothing happened. And for me, that ruined the whole race. I think from a Lewis Hamilton fanboy point of view, it's frustrating because he then was in third. He should have been in second and ended up, rather than going off after Lando, he was sort of trapped in a DRS train at that point.
Compromised his race.
Yeah, and his race was compromised and Max got behind him. They were having a little battle, which was fair enough. In hindsight, I think his penalty was probably justified. Maybe not 10 seconds, but he did gain an advantage. He did.
Yeah, and we'll get to that, but it was within the context of two incidents occurred where drivers gained an advantage from leaving the track within two corners. And for my view, either both get punished or neither get punished.
My main issue was Charles, to be honest. And he was sheepish after the race. He knows that wasn't quite right because he gained an advantage over Lewis, over Max, and over George.
Yeah.
And at the end of the race, he's finished second with Max, like, literally about to overtake him when a jammy virtual safety car came out. So, like, it sullied the whole race because, for me, the rules weren't followed. They weren't backed up by the stewards. And it kind of took away the meaning for me for the whole race. Sounds stupid. I know it's whingy. But the meaning was removed from it because what we would have also had is potentially Lewis getting on the podium. But also, I reckon Max would have probably, with the pace he had, probably would have got ahead of Lewis. And the championship's closing up even more. Piastri might have finished further behind because he probably wouldn't have got past Lewis. And the championship would have compressed even more.
Mm.
And I just feel robbed of the whole thing. I'm still not over it.
It was harsh. It manifests itself further down in lap six, but I took the view with that first corner that Max obviously went too far, but I mean, if that's the rules now, you can just go as fast as you like and miss your braking zone and overspeed it and then just say, right, I'm going off and take evasive action and cut out two corners, then that's not on. I mean, he was a bit sheepish as well, I thought, coming in the interviews afterwards. It was as if he was saying, well, I came back on and took, he just said, I took my position, as if it was just sort of handed to him there. And then, again, debatable whether he took the space, give the place back to Lewis or it was taken, but he certainly wasn't going off on one. I mean, he started on the medium, so he was struggling to turn them on. But I suspect, I agree with you, from that image, I suspect that Leclerc could have taken the first corner. I think he was slowing down enough. He was clearly turning in. And then he probably looked at Max and went, that's a good idea. I fancy a bit of that. Because it's half expected, isn't it, in Mexico, turn one. It's a given that
From the onboard, after Charles had turned into Lewis.
He's making that corner there.
Yeah, I think he would have done. But he's trying to stay on the power. And I think he had a little snap, which sent him off the circuit. But Lewis had given him plenty of room to stay on the track. Lewis is going around that corner. If we rolled ahead a few frames, Lewis is pretty much in the middle of the track, getting ready for the left-hand turn of turn two. So they were they definitely would have made it both round. But
even Charles with the snap, he could have like come off the power a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, as absolutely. You say, he could have come off power a little bit, made a tighter turn, and I think he certainly could have made it. But I think with Max in his peripheral vision, he took that opportunity.
Oh, I've lost you. I've lost you, mate.
Oh, no.
No, no, you're back. You're back.
Can you hear me? No, well, yeah. he took a shallower line, which is how he got in front of everyone.
Yeah.
By the next two corners. And that was... I suspect it could have been deliberate. I suspect he saw Max in his peripheral vision and went, I'm having a bit of that. I fancy that.
But the other argument I heard was that, well, he'd gained an advantage on Lewis, so Ferrari are not going to complain about that. But he didn't. He gained an advantage on Max and George as well by driving off the circuit. And in fact, he's gained an advantage on loads of cars behind him as well. I know he has to rejoin.
Where do you draw the line of rejoining? You're not going to wait for everyone to pass.
No, true. But when you've cut out what he did, my point is, I think, is the inconsistency of the stewards. It's more annoying than anything.
Yeah.
Those three all gained an advantage. And are we saying that it's because Lewis's misdemeanor was not on lap one? So are the rules now that if there's no gravel, you can just banzai it into turn one on lap one and just do whatever you want, basically. As long as you
smash... So. As we were saying earlier this week, we've turned into a first corner championship and people are willing to take massive risks because it clearly pays off and the FIA are clearly applying the benefit of the doubt more so in turn one. As you'd expect, it's where most cars are most closest together throughout the entire race and it's the longest... start finish straight in terms of turn one relative to the actual start line, I think 800 meters or so. But you're right, the rules are either there or they're not. I mean, for me, at the very least, Max needed to join behind Lewis and Leclerc because those were the three he was racing with. Norris was gone, he had a slight advantage at that point. He was racing directly with Lewis and Leclerc, so the minimum he should have joined is behind them too. But I think there's an argument for George as well because he made the corner and he could have argued that we were very close.
I think you're right. I think there is a line to be drawn. For me, Max gave up two places after rejoining the track, so I think that's fair enough. Charles, though, just
you certainly can't be better off.
Such a massive advantage. It's just. It was him that, and he was sheepish at the end of the race. He knew it, and it spoiled the whole race because it had kind of manipulated the race in a way that shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Because.
But as a minimum, Charles should have maybe yielded to Lewis.
Yeah, absolutely.
And given it up because if he thought they were making the corner similarly, he should have yielded to Lewis.
And the fact
Ferrari aren't going to do a song and dance about it, but. Actually,
but the fact they're teammates, I think, is irrelevant because an advantage is an advantage. It doesn't matter if it's against your teammate or not. And George wasn't. I mean, I think Mercedes probably did complain about it as well, because George was talking about it, and he was fuming. George was at the end of the race. You should drive off the track and do whatever the fuck you want. It's basically what he said. I mean, I did enjoy George. I like this version of George Russell.
Yeah.
He's like, he sounds like a team leader. He doesn't give a fuck, does he?
He's boss of the world because he's the FIA rep, isn't he, for the driver's rep?
Yeah.
And he leads a lot of the discussions. He's in the smart actual lab, pre-race though, isn't he? Stuff. He is.
And almost everything he said in the last few weeks about the racing generally has been correct.
Yeah. But he's right because he mentioned it on the basis that, right, we've set the precedent now. Everyone's going to do that now. You have to crack down on this behaviour because all drivers instinctively, and I can't blame them for it, if there's precedent set, they see that opportunity and they will all go for it because it's just established as standard fare these days. And you watch the next few races where that's a possibility. I know we've got some street circuits where it's not going to happen. But you watch that and the drivers are going to take advantage of that. This new quasi-established rule, it just becomes de facto now that you first corner, you can do what you want. And that's where you rightly pointed out, we're in a... and that crystallizes this view that it's a... You get the pole position in your qualifying and you're 90% there to winning the race.
Look, I know I sound a bit of a whinger. I love the wheel-to-wheel racing. I love the wheel banging. I had no problem with Lando banging into Oscar in Singapore. I had no bother with the Ferraris coming together into turn one. The racing later on, before Lewis got his penalty, between Max and Lewis, it was beautiful.
Yeah,
Lewis nice sort of showed how you've got to drive against Max.
You've
basically got to match Max's willingness just to crash. Like, and that's
it's chicken. It's chicken. Yeah.
And Lewis showed that in 2021, and I think he showed it again yesterday. They've both then locked up. They've both then gone off the track. I think that's when George was more annoyed as well, because they both went off the track. Lewis went down the escape road. Max sort of still tried to make the corner and came back on, but then George got tangled up behind him. And that's, I think,
yeah,
that's
well,
George
should have benefited from that, because this is my point about... So we've got lap six, turn... three, I think it is, the wheel-to-wheel, Verstappen and Lewis, and Verstappen cuts the corner and gains an advantage out of that, in my view, gained a clear advantage for it, because they were sort of wheel-to-wheel at that stage. So it wasn't really his position, and he just reassumed it. And then, obviously, the next corner, Lewis was coming back a little further. He was under pressure from George Russell as well. And then Lewis meets the next corner, overcooks it, locks a wheel, and then heads off to the escape road. And for me, okay, fair enough. Either Lewis and Max need to give those places back to George, or you can't have Lewis punished alone. It has to be him and Verstappen punished, or none at all. And this isn't fanboy status for Lewis or anyone. It's like the first turn incident. Had it been the British boys going off and cutting the corner and getting that type of advantage, I'd have been equally pissed off because, as you say, it's about the precedent it sets and about adherence to the rules and just general fairness. But
my problem is when you fuck around with the meaningfulness of a sport, it gets lost. It's a little bit like what happened in 2021, not to the same extent, but I know quite a few people that stopped watching F1 after 2021, because they just thought it's not a sport anymore. It's just become some sort of wrestling style
entertainment. Say, it's when you figure out wrestling isn't real. That it's all set up from the start. Yeah, but it does. It takes something away because all right, okay, this is predetermined. There's a narrative. It's not a race director. It's just a director. In the filming sense, somebody's trying to articulate a narrative. Somebody's trying to drive a story. And I don't want that. I want the racing to tell the tale, not some director up in the office.
Yeah,
are you all right, man? You feel a bit.
We're gonna get. I think
that's hurting.
I reckon we're gonna get some stick in the comments. for this.
Yeah, but it's not about British fanboy status or anything like that, or fairness. It's just fairness in general. I don't like it when a sneaky.
This is what I'm saying, though, because the other week I was taking the piss out of Oscars when he was doing "It's Not Fair," and that's now basically exactly what we're doing. But I think there is a difference between. I think that was just. That was fairness between two people racing in the same team.
They both stayed on the road in that instance. They were both.
Yeah, exactly. It was just like a bit of wheel banging, which is what I'm saying we like. But it's when you kind of. It's when the sportingness of it starts to get breached. Yeah. And we just think, oh, fuck it, this is entertaining. We'll just let it go because it's entertaining. For me, it loses meaning. But this goes
back to your question at the start of the race. Was it an epic race or a farce? Well, actually, in terms of the championship and how it works out in the next few races, everything's getting super tight again. And it was, excellent for Lando on a personal basis, for Lando to be taking the lead only by 1 point in the championship. I think Oscar had a pretty rough weekend, but, Lando stood out. But the championship is still on. It's very much still on. Max still needed a third place just to keep things alive. And, it's getting very, very tight and everything is converging towards the last race.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I was cheering on Max to get Charles because I think it would have felt like justice, but also it would have closed the championship even more because even as the result is with him in third, the distance between Max and the lead of the championship has got smaller.
Yeah.
Lando's extended his lead over Max. Yeah. So it's amalgamating into something quite special.
As I said in the pre-show, you can't afford to do less than a third Max in any of the races because I think just to keep him in contention, I think anything less than a win is really making every future race tighter and tighter for him. But he's still in the mix at the minute. I think statistically, it's not quite game over for him, but he'd have been obviously a much stronger position had he won. But yeah, I know what you're saying because it feels like one of the races that has been, we're talking about the FIA again instead of the racing as much as anything else. Because the racing in and of itself was fine. It was a generally entertaining race if you take away those corner one and lap six incidents, but we're talking about the FIA again.
That's kind of what I'm saying, though. The racing in turn one was fantastic. We should be encouraging that, but then there needs to be, if we're going to have rules, they need to be applied. Otherwise, it's just the wacky races, and you can do what the fuck you want.
But it's difficult for people to understand what to expect now. I assumed. Had they not given those places back, they should have been sat with some form of penalty, the pair of them, Max and Leclerc. And for that not to be forthcoming after they...
And potentially
You
Kimi
could have argued
well.
Max gave... Yeah, you could have, but you could have said Max had, he'd done enough probably to avoid sanction, but certainly not Leclerc. He just kept his head down and just, turned up the radio and he was off. Didn't want to know anymore about that turn one incident.
I'm not a seven-time world champion, but I am about a year or two older than Lewis Hamilton. And had I been driving around for the rest of the race in his position, I would have been plotting how I'm going to burn down the nonsense that occurs at Ferrari and get my eighth championship. Yeah. Like, that would have fired me the fuck up.
Yeah.
I mean, it has anyway. It's done that anyway.
Yeah.
The frustrating thing is, it overshadowed for me anyway what was also a brilliant performance from Lando from the first minute of FP1 to the last minute of the race. And also Ollie Bearman being Johnny on the spot to pick up the pieces and get a beautiful fourth.
Like what a result for the guy. That's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I was so pleased for him. I mean, at one point he was looking at podium status, really, wasn't he, as well? And he said in his post-race interview that he was just exciting to be wheel to wheel with Max. He thought, this is so cool that I'm wheel to wheel with Max Verstappen and somewhat of a hero of his.
But, I mean, he did go wheel to wheel as well, didn't he? Yeah. Around that little section.
Yeah, but that, you know, that's an experience to tick off in his first full rookie year. And, you know, more power to the lad. They did absolutely spectacular. The Haas in general did pretty well. But well done, Ollie, because I thought he had a fantastic race. He really, really held his own and had a beauty, an absolute beauty. So good
to
watch.
There was a moment when they pitted him off the mediums to go back onto the soft tyres. I'm thinking, no, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I think it was probably the right decision to bring him onto the fresher tyres, but it meant he never had a go to hold on to third place.
Yeah,
I'd have liked to seen him stay out. Because Max was struggling to get past Charles.
Yeah.
And I'm not certain that Behrman wouldn't have caught Charles.
No.
As well.
No. Because Max still had a lot of laps to do on those softs. I know they lasted well for those who started on them and they got fairly deep into the race. But everyone seemed to think those mediums were stinking. So I think it was a case of, we're not having fun, let's take a chance and go on the softs and do a two-stop. But I mean, I think he could have done a job. I really think he could have done a job maintaining those mediums and sticking with Max, or keeping Max at bay, actually.
I would have liked to have seen it.
Yeah.
But I don't blame them in the end. I was annoyed at Haas at first. I think, what are you doing? But I think you can see why they did it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I would have loved to have seen him have a go at the podium. See what he could do.
I mean, they never see a fourth. That's, you know, it's rare as rock and our shit for them, but they are. And as for, let's bag ourselves a fourth. Although Oscar was coming up behind him pretty tasty towards the end.
Let's talk about Oscar. I think it was a reasonable recovery drive, wasn't it? Lando's taken the lead in the championship again by 1 point. Piastri
decent damage limitation for him, because at one point in the race Lando had a good 7 points advantage over him, and it wasn't looking particularly nice to watch. He absolutely hated those mediums by the looks of it. Had a relatively rough qualifying for him, but I think it just actually demonstrated how hooked up Lando was, because he had that thing on rails. I mean, it looked absolutely beautiful. There are some. When you see a Formula One driver and his car in perfect harmony like that, it's a real pleasure, because you get the, especially in that qualifying lap, he was so in the zone, he didn't really even remember the lap. He wasn't entirely sure how he did it.
Yeah.
He just remembered the start of the lap and the end of the lap, and the rest of it was just autopilot. And that must be such a beautiful feeling.
It was full on flow state, wasn't it?
Like, yeah. Must be such a beautiful, beautiful feeling to have that, just to feel that, even for a moment of, you know, car and man in perfect synchronization.
It is it's brutal for Oscar, for this sort of level of momentum shift to be happening at this stage of the season, where you've got Lando saying, "Oh no, they're both saying the car's not changed," but Lando's now saying, "Oh yeah, the car's working for me," and Oscar's saying, "The car's not working for me." With four races to go, Lando's just got into the lead of the championship.
Everything. Oscar must feel like he's slipping away from him. He must feel that, and that's a bad headspace to be. But
the thing is, I think if I was Mark Webber, I'd be telling him, "Look, mate, it's been tough. You've got an opportunity now. You're the hunter again. You've got an opportunity to do something very, very special here." Oh no, we've lost him. Are you back? Lost you for a second there. It's the... we've lost him again. Nelly is somewhere in the world that's not his home. He's travelling and having a good time, I think. But the internet is possibly just a little bit dodgy. Oh, he's back. I was just going to say, while you're on your way back, we'll ask people to subscribe to the channel and give us a like.
And do that.
Criticize us on our whinging and British bias And let's let's
get away from the whinging, because what a week we've had since we've invited people to like and subscribe and join the sub 1,000 club, because we've had a nice little boost and we're so grateful and we thank you all for actually doing something, because and commenting on it. We had a lot of comments as well. So that was a nice surprise this week, and some really good view numbers. And yeah, like and subscribe. Tell your friends. Let's have more of it.
Tell your friends. There's a couple of British lads whinging handsome about F1. I mean, that haircut you've got, mate, is looking fucking sharp.
It's a sweet fade. It looks particularly thin because of my badger-esque flashes of silver hair. All natural. But yeah, it looks particularly close to my egg-headed scalp and brain.
Well, any notable mentions? I think Gabriel Bortoleto is deserving of a mention. He got another point.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. Felt sorry for the Fonz again. He didn't have a superb day. He had to retire the motor. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to look past Behrman, but go on.
I forgot another thing that suggests this race was a shambles. Did you see what happened to Liam Lawson?
Oh,
have
yes.
Have you seen it?
Yes. With
a marshal. So he pitted early doors because he damaged his wing, came back out into the track and nearly killed two marshals. He was running across the track.
He's okay. It's just the Mexican mindset of like just being in constant danger in the city of Mexico. But yeah, let's just walk across the track. He's okay.
I don't know about you, but if I was Liam Lawson, that would dislodge my mental state for the rest of the race. Yeah. Like it's
my knickers would be in absolute peril at that stage. They would be. I know they say that Formula One drivers go to the bathroom in the race because there's very little option to do so. I'd be going to the bathroom, having a shower in the sauna and everything, jacuzzi and everything else. It would not be a pretty sight.
Oh, man. What a but crazy,
yeah, completely crazy unacceptable.
Race.
But yeah, for the our Mexican brethren, I kind of like the way it's a bit Heath Robinson, the way that they do some stuff and they just make things work and aren't bound by the same health and safety legislation that we are in boring Britain in that regard. Yeah.
The other thing we heard was Lando Norris getting booed. Yes. At the end of the race. I think that is because everybody seemed confused by it. I'm pretty sure a couple of years ago he banged wheels with Checo. Or ran Checo off a little bit or something. I can't remember the exact details, but he had a little coming together with Checo and ever since then they booed him. And I think it was the same yesterday. I know they were on the Sky coverage, they were complaining about people booing, but I think you're allowed to boo. Like, it's not...
Do you know what? A booing is a backhanded compliment because you don't boo Lance Stroll because he's irrelevant. You only boo somebody if they're, you know, to be a bad guy, you have to be a good bad guy or a threat of a bad guy, don't you? So, yeah, it just means that he is relevant and take it one way or the other. If people are making noise, it's a good thing.
Does that apply to us then? So if people are down, if people are down in the comments of this, and you couple of whingy British lads, what are you team LH idiots?
On that basis, our comment section will mean we're players. We're part.
Bring it on. Every comment means we mean something.
Nourished. Nourishes my ego. Yeah. We were warned not to invite out the trolls, but to be fair, sticks and stones. Have at it. Don't care.
What I was thinking is that I think people are now starting to understand what this channel is all about. And there's been some comments. There was one comment I particularly enjoyed when we had asked for more subscribers is someone said something like 107 mofos. Yeah. And that is exactly the attitude.
Yes. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
That guy understands what this is about.
He does, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. That kind of sums up the kind of premise and desire.
He'll remember that
for
the rest of his life. Sub 1,000, he's 107.
Brilliant. Anyway, It's cheering me up, mate. I was still angry at the start of this. I've got it off my chest, I think.
That's
put it out into the world.
But I share your pain. But don't you dare try and talk past this and wrap up this show, because there's a major issue of points to be talking about.
Oh, shit, yeah. I've got the music major running and everything.
Of points.
No, we're done. We're finished. Let's get, the show's finished.
Give me my moment.
Okay, let me... let me come...
What's totally, mine is mine. What's right is right.
I've totally forgotten. Right, let me bring up... So you're talking about our predictions, obviously.
Yeah.
And I haven't actually, because I kind of assumed we'd all just messed it up, but you have not, have you?
No, I haven't. My tactic of putting Lando for Paul and Race for every week has been costly so far, but she's finally paid off with a 3-point super haul.
You went full Lando and picked up three very hard-earned points to... catch up just a tiny touch.
No, I'm coming nowhere near. I think my position of third is extant, and it will be staying that way. But I'm in double figures. Still getting the wooden spoon, but it's not quite
I haven't updated the race prediction leaderboard. So White's is still on 24. I'm still on 16. You've now moved up from 8 to 11. You're into double figures and only 5 behind me. Anything could happen. The championship is closing up together.
It's alive.
It is. Good stuff.
Well, another good week for F1. We'll take it. It was entertaining one way or the other. You've cleansed yourself now. You've got it out of your system a little bit. Must hurt, because that Lewis was looking for that third place podium, which was a bit of an outlier for you, and that could have paid off really nicely. That should have happened there, brother.
I think that's what it was. I think that's why I'm so upset. It's all about the zero credentials. It's not fair. I wanted a pint. All right, where are we going next? Brazil, isn't it?
Brazil, fantastic. Oh, yeah. Interlagos.
Beautiful, beautiful track. We'll be probably Tuesday or Wednesday next week, potentially.
Let's do it,
for that. And let's keep these subscribers rolling. Keep the channel going, because we're loving it. I hope you're loving it as well. And we'll see you again very, very soon.
Obrigado. Bye.